Krishnakala
Tadvadastasya hi shreyo
Yadoshad yadadapuman Svapranānya
paraprānāya
Prapushnā jagunākala Tadvadastasya hi shreyo Yadoshad yadadapuman Svapranānya paraprānāya Prapushnā jagrinākala Tadvadastasya hi shreyo Yadoshad yadyadapuman
cost of others' lives.
Prapushnati
maintains properly.
Agrina
shameless.
Kala
wretched.
Tadvadha
killing of him.
Tasya
his.
He
certainly.
Shreya
well-being.
Yat,
by which?
Doshat,
by the fault.
Yati,
goes.
Adha,
downwards.
Downwards.
Puman,
a person.
Okay,
translation.
A cruel and wretched person
who maintains
his existence
at the cost of others'
lives
deserves to be killed
for his own well-being.
Otherwise, he will
go down by
his own actions.
Purport
by Srila Prabhupada.
A life
for a life is
just punishment
for a person who
cruelly and
shamelessly
lives at the cost of
another's life.
Political
morality is
to punish a person
by a death sentence
in order to
save a cruel
person from going to
hell.
That a murderer
is condemned to a
death sentence by
the state
is good for the
culprit,
because in his next
life he will not
have to suffer for
this act of murder.
Such a
death sentence for the
murderer is the
lowest possible
punishment
offered to
him And it is said in the Smriti Shastras that men who are punished by the king on the principle of a life for a life are purified of all their sins, so much so that they may be eligible for being promoted to the planets of heaven. According to Manu, the great author of civic codes and religious principles, even the killer of an animal is to be considered a murderer, because animal food is never meant for the civilized man, whose prime duty is to prepare himself for going back to Godhead. He says that in the act of killing an animal, there is a regular conspiracy by the party of sinners, and all of them are liable to be punished as murderers, exactly like a party of conspirators who kill a human being combinedly. He who gives permission, he who kills the animal, he who sells the slaughtered animal, he who cooks the animal, he who administers distribution of foodstuff, and at last he who eats such cooked animal food are all murderers, all of whom are liable to be punished by the laws of nature. No one can create a living being despite all advancement of material science, and therefore no one has the right to kill a living being by one's independent whims. For the animal eaters, the scriptures have sanctioned restricted animal sacrifices only, and such sanctions are there just to restrict the opening of slaughterhouses and not to encourage animal killing. The procedure under which animal sacrifice is allowed in the scriptures is good both for the animal sacrifice and the animal eaters. It is good for the animal in the sense that the sacrificed animal is at once promoted to the human form of life after being sacrificed at the altar, and the animal eater is saved from grosser types of sins, eating meat supplied by organized slaughterhouses, which are ghastly places for breeding all kinds of material afflictions to society, country, and the people in general. The material world is itself a place always full of anxieties, and by encouraging animal slaughter, the whole atmosphere becomes polluted and more by war, pestilence, famine, and many other unwanted calamities. Hare Krishna. Om Agyantam Mundasya Yanam Yaman Shilakaya Chakshuram Lutam Yena Tazmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Namo Vishwamadaya Krishna Pastavudalaya Shmate Bhaktivinanda Samamata Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravara Chani Nivasishnidhi Piskajadastana Banchkav Trivishchar Kripsamidhiyavichar Titanam Pavanadiyo Vaishnavadiyo Namaha. So just reading that last part about eating meat supplied by organized slaughterhouses, which are ghastly places for breeding all kinds of material afflictions on society. The two places where the COVID outbreak was most profuse was some meat plant in America and one in Germany, and all these people were working with these dead animals, killing them and processing them, and so the COVID virus was very prominent there. But of course, you know, this is very pertinent to the modern times we're living in, how the problems in the material world are aggravated more and more by the slaughter of animals, because we know that COVID actually came from, well, that was what they say, from a wet market in China. I was reading about the bubonic plague, actually. Pretty interesting. The bubonic plague, which occurred at the end of the 14th century in Europe, a third to a half of the population was wiped out. And it came from a flea found in rats in Middle Asia. So because the virus came on ships that were importing stuff to Europe, the virus spread, because it was a lot worse. I mean, I wouldn't say it was worse than COVID, but people died more commonly in that, and the bubonic plague. They would get these huge lumps on their body which became black. And it was very horrific how to a third of the people died. COVID's pretty bad, but the fact is everybody's dying. This is the thing that Prabhupada said, we should leave this contaminated place because it's actually full of these problems, birth, death, old age and disease. And of course, when people eat meat like they do in the modern age, so many, if you look on the website of PETA, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, you see the numbers of animals that are being slaughtered is just phenomenal. It's just amazing. They have this by second, every second, how many animals are being slaughtered all over the planet. And of course, fishes are the biggest number. But beyond that, there are chickens, all kinds of animals. Of course, cows are the most important animals. In Bengal, a lot of people eat fish. But it's not, even though fish are considered to be the lowest of animals, and eating fish is considered to be pretty bad, but eating cows is obviously a lot worse. Because cows are such important creatures for human beings, and therefore Prabhupada actually glorifies cows as a very nice, in the book, what's it called? I can't remember the name of the book. It's the Japanese pictures, isn't it? What's that one?
Light of the Bhagavat.
Light of the Bhagavat. In the Light of the Bhagavat, Prabhupada says the following, because I like to push cow protection because I think it's very important. And here Prabhupada explains why. After good rains, the grazing ground for the animals was full of green pasture, and both the bulls and the cows sat down on the grass fully satisfied. The cows, followed by their calves, appeared tired of grazing because of full milk bags. Calmly and quietly, the cows and calves rested and ruminated, chewing their cud. Purple. Protection and grazing ground for the cows are among the essential needs for society and the welfare of people in general. The animal fat required for the human body can be well derived from cow's milk. Cow's milk is very important for human energy, and the economic development of society depends on sufficient food grains, sufficient milk, and sufficient transportation and distribution of these products. Of course, in Vedic society, all these things were produced by the mercy of the cow and the bull. Grains from tilling the land, milk from milking the cows, transportation by using oxen. Lord Sri Krishna, by his personal example, taught us the importance of cow protection, which is meant not only for the Indian climate, but for all human beings all over the universe. Less intelligent people underestimate the value of cow's milk. Cow's milk is also called goras, or the juice from the body of the cow. Milk is the most valuable form of goras, and from milk we can prepare many important and valuable foodstuffs for the upkeep of the human body. The killing of cows by human society is one of the grossest suicidal policies, and those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first towards the question of cow protection. Of course, I don't want to get puffed up having cows, but I am quite proud of the fact that I've had cows for 25 years. And I'm really proud of the fact that we're able to supply some of the devotees. Actually, I would like to have a big farm, you know, 10,000 acres. Because cow protection doesn't really work so well when it's just a family. Everyone should be involved. This is what Prabhupada wanted, everyone to be involved in, you know, seeing the cows, like when Krishna, you know, he had a, he was attacked by the cart demon. So after he was attacked, they wanted to protect Krishna, so they got the hairs from the tail of the cow and they, you know, circled it around his body. They got cow urine, they smeared on his body, cow stool. So cows, how can we live without cows? Impossible. So So if we really want to cultivate the human spirit in society, we must have first-class intelligent men to guide the society, and to develop the finer tissues of our brains, we must assimilate vitamin values from milk. Devotees worship Lord Sri Krishna by addressing him as the well-wisher of the Brahmins and the cows. One more. Intelligent class men who perfectly attain knowledge and spiritualities are called the Brahmins. No society can improve in transcendental knowledge without the guidance of such first-class men, and no brain can assimilate the subtle form of knowledge without fine brain tissues. For such important brain tissues, we require a sufficient quantity of milk and milk preparations. Ultimately, we need to protect the cow to derive the highest benefit from this important animal. The protection of cows, therefore, is not merely a religious sentiment, but a means to secure the highest benefit for human society. That's great. Anyway, so it's quite depressing, you know, the way modern society is living, and they're paying the price because of all the disease which is prevalent nowadays. But of course, we have the perfect knowledge of how to live a perfect life. And of course, the Kali Yuga, you know, in one sense, it's getting a lot better. If you compare them present-day leaders to some of the leaders we've had in the past, we could say that even since the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, things have somewhat improved. Because if you look at some of the leaders in the last 500 years, you got Ivan the Terrible, you've got Stalin, killed 30 million people, Hitler, such a demon. I made a mistake when I was in Russia. I was giving a talk, and I said that, you know, things are getting better because of Lord Chaitanya, because we used to have Stalin and Hitler, and now we've got Trump and Putin. And I got into trouble.
You think that's better?
Huh?
You really think that's better?
Well, I think, you know, Trump will become a saint, because he's so much better than Stalin and Hitler. But anyway, joking aside, you know, we had Aurangzeb, he killed millions of Hindus, all these people, Mussolini. This is only within living memory of some people. These people existed. No, not you. Me. So, you know, in a way things have improved. But the idea is that, you know, we're trying to get out of the material world. The material world is actually a contaminated place. So we have to know where we want to go. It's just like if you go up to the ticket office and you want to get a ticket, you might have the money to go somewhere, if you want to fly somewhere, you know, but if they ask you, where do you want to go, and you don't really know where you want to go, it's not, he can't help you. So with us, we're trying to go to Goloka Vrindavan. We're not going to, you know, Shiva Loka, Brahma Loka. We want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. So we get to Goloka Vrindavan by getting the mercy of the devotees. You can only get there by getting the mercy of the devotees. And so there are many devotees, many types of devotees, but it is said that Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. Yata Vaishnavanam Shambhu. So Shiva, he's the greatest devotee because he is always doing welfare activities for the benefit of others. In fact, when the demigods and the demons were churning the ocean, and the poison was produced, he said to his wife, which is a very nice sentiment, "It is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. Certainly it is the duty of the master to protect the suffering dependents. My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when we perform benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of God in Hari is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let us drink this poison, for all living entities may become happy. So that's nice. Actually, Lord Shiva, he's not happy when we become devotees of Shiva. He doesn't want us to become his followers. He wants us to become devotees of Krishna. And he actually resides in Vrindavan, because he wants to see, he's in every holy place in Vrindavan, because he wants to see the Lord's pastimes. And he can actually give us entrance into Vrindavan, because we can only go to Vrindavan by getting the mercy of the devotees, and he's the greatest devotee. So, and he himself says exactly the same thing. Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samachanam. He says that, the worship of a devotee is higher than the worship of Krishna. So ultimately, we cannot approach Krishna directly. We have to approach his devotees. So we're trying to please Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas. We have so many acharyas to be thankful for. There's a very nice book by Shiva Ramaswamy called My Daily Morning Prayers, where he actually has published all the prayers that, I don't know if he still says these prayers every morning, but all the prayers to all the people who have helped us in our pursuit of attaining the goal of love of Krishna, like Madhavendra Puri and Bhugava Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta. So Bhakti Siddhanta, he also said something, he quoted a famous verse. When he arrived by train in Bhuvaneshwar one time, he offered his obeisance to Lingaraj, Shiva, because Bhuvaneshwar, I don't know how many of you have been there, it's an amazing temple, very famous temple. What's the name of that temple, Mark?
Krishna.
Huh?
Krishna
Balaram.
Krishna Balaram.
Krishna Balaram?
Bhuvaneshwar temple.
No, I'm talking about the Shiva temple. The Shiva temple.
Huh?
Yeah. It's a, we're not allowed to go in. I went there. You have to stand outside and look down.
It's a famous temple.
Huh?
It's a famous temple.
Yeah, the Lingaraj. The Lingaraj. Lingaraj. Yeah. So he said this when he went there to Bhuvaneshwar. He said, "O Shiva, O gatekeeper of Vrindavan, O you who are accompanied by Goddess Uma, O you who carry the moon in your hair, O Lord, worshipped by Sanandan and Kumar, Sanat Kumar and Narada Muni, O Gopishra, O one worshipped by the Gopis, I beg you to bestow upon me love for the lotus feet of the divine couple who perform joyous pastimes in Braj. I repeatedly offer my obeisances to you." So that's a beautiful prayer to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, there's a holy place in Vrindavan called Rudrakund. And actually at this place, it is said that Lord Shiva, he was deep in meditation one time, and he called out to Radha and Krishna. He said, "O abodes of mercy, please be kind to wayward souls and drive away their fears with the gift of pure devotion to you." And then out of compassion, he shed tears. And those tears formed a kund, or a lake. So it's called Rudrakund. So we have so many people that can help us in our quest to attain the jewel of Krishna consciousness. And one is also Lord Brahma, because if we read his prayers, they're also very beautiful. One of the verses which I was reading today, he says, he's glorifying the residents of Vrindavan, the cows, the gopis, Nanda, all the inhabitants of Braj. He said, yet even though the extent of the good fortune of these residents of Vrindavan is inconceivable, we 11 presiding deities of the various senses, headed by Lord Shiva, are almost fortunate, because the senses of these devotees of Vrindavan are the cups through which we drink the nectarian and intoxicating beverage of the honey of your lotus feet. So, we drink the nectar of the honey of the Lord's lotus feet by hearing from the mouths of these great devotees. And Lord Shiva, because we don't worship, we worship Lord Shiva because he's a devotee, but he's not Krishna, so therefore one of the offenses against the holy name, second offense, is consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. But at the same time, Lord Shiva is so important to devotees because he is he's a great example of somebody who is completely meditating on Krishna. And Krishna, Krishna himself, if you read the 11th canto, he says that one who has given up all material desires, who desires nothing within this material world. How's that one going? Anyway, I can't remember the Sanskrit, but he says that one who gives up all material desires, who has no attachment to material things, finds only happiness wherever he goes. And then he says, this is Krishna speaking, then he says that I desire to purify with the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are always without personal desires and always wrapped in thoughts of me. So I looked up the word wrapped in the dictionary. It's a very nice, actually the English language is a good language in a way, not as good as Sanskrit, but the word wrapped is a nice word. And it means totally absorbed, engrossed, spellbound, through or as if emotion, wrapped with wonder. Comes from the Latin word raptus, which means carried away. So devotees, we can get carried away hearing about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, and hearing about, you know, Krishna's words. Of course, Shiva, he's a great devotee and he gives benedictions very easily. And of course, we know the story. He gave a benediction to Vrikasura. So Vrikasura went to Kedarnath to get a benediction from Lord Shiva. So he meditated for a long time and Lord Shiva didn't appear. So he was so frustrated, he almost gave up. And then suddenly Lord Shiva appeared from the sacrificial fire and he said, what do you want? I can fulfill your desire. Because Lord Shiva is very merciful. And so Bricusser, he said, I want the benediction that if I touch someone's head, his head will fall off. So then Bricusser wanted to test it, so he ran after Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was afraid. So he ran away all over the place. He went up to Vaikuntha and he approached Narayan, Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan said, yes, I will give you shelter. So then he assumed a form of a brahmachari. And then Bricusser came along. And so the brahmachari said, how can I help you? And Bricusser said, well, I've got this benediction from Lord Shiva. So the brahmachari, Lord Narayan, he said, oh, you don't listen to Lord Shiva, because since he was cursed by Daksha, he's become like a carnivorous hobgoblin. So don't believe anything he says. So then he said, what did he say? He said, well, he gave me a benediction that whoever's head I touch, it will fall off. So the brahmachari said, well, don't believe a word he said. You know, try it, touch your own head and see what happens. It won't happen. It won't work. And so he touched his head and his head fell off. So Lord Shiva, he's such a wonderful personality, and getting the mercy of Lord Shiva. So in the story, not the story, but the pastime or the history, where Parvati curses Chitraketu, that's a very interesting pastime. Actually, Chitraketu, he was kind of laughing at Lord Shiva because he was embracing his wife, Parvati. And he thought, this is strange. He was worried about Lord Shiva because he thought, people will think this is funny, that Lord Shiva is supposed to be one of the Mahajans and he's embracing his wife in front of all these sages. I don't think people appreciate this. So, you know, he was concerned for Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada says also in the purport, he spoke joking words because Chitraketu was accompanied by the Vijayadas. He had some beautiful girlfriends. And he was in his airplane with his beautiful girlfriends. And it was like a joking exchange between Lord Shiva and Chitraketu, because Chitraketu is also a great devotee. But then Parvati, she didn't like it. So she cursed him. And actually, Prabhupada said that he didn't have to accept the curse, but he accepted the curse out of respect for Parvati. And he said, out of humility, he accepted the curse. And of course, we know that this is all Krishna's arrangement, that he could go back to Godhead quicker because he was enjoying with his girlfriends in his airplane. And Krishna, you know, wanted him to go back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha, not just Vaikuntha. So he was cursed, he accepted the curse, and then there's that famous verse, what's that verse? About being happy anywhere. Sagapavarga Narakesh Apatuljyasa Narayana Purana Narayana Purasave Nakutashna Bhagati Swagapavarga Narakesh Apatuljyasa Dashanaha. That's a good one. So a devotee is happy anywhere, even in a hellish condition, a devotee is happy. So he accepted the curse, he didn't mind, he smiled, he was very gracious. So he got the body of a demon, Vritrasura, big ugly demon. But he wasn't at all, he was happy. And he was goading Indra on. Indra was his enemy, because he had the body of a demon. Indra's a demigod. But actually Vritrasura was a lot more fortunate than Indra. So he was saying, go ahead and kill me, because the sooner you kill me, the sooner I can go back to Vrindavan. So he also wanted to go to Vrindavan, Chitraketu. So Ivashiva, of course, Shiva's wife is Kali, and Durga, And Prabhupada points out that, you know, Lord Shiva sometimes he's horrified by how heavy-handed Kali is, because she's got 10 arms. In each and every arm she has a different weapon. So Prabhupada says there's a picture of Lord Shiva lying on the ground in front of Kali, imploring her to stop killing. But you know, that's her job. She has to do it. So we're all being killed, but we're lucky because we know. And there's an interesting, in the chapter where Brahma is offering prayers to Krishna, there's an interesting verse where Sukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, it's in the same chapter. He says that if a person comes to the stage of considering the body mine instead of me, this is my body, this is not me. This is where Prabhupada, you know, is always going on about, we're not the body. This is, you know, the beginning of spiritual life. We're not the body. So this is from the 10th canto. He will certainly not consider the body as dear as his own self. After all, even as the body is growing old and useless, one's desire to continue living remains strong. So this is just simple logic. You know, we don't want to die even though our body is old and useless. We want to continue living. And a devotee is very lucky because we know that this body is just an inferior bag of chemicals, and we can get a spiritual body. So we have to decide what kind of body we want. We're very lucky because we have the opportunity to get the highest body in Vrindavan. And all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna and give up the 10 offenses, and we can achieve perfection. So it's very simple, but takes time, takes decades. Like Bhaktisiddhanta said, meditating on Krishna, yes, the Kaliya Leela, all the different pastimes Krishna performs throughout the different periods of the day, he said, maybe after 30 years, you may be able to do that. 30 years of chanting. So in the beginning, we're just purifying the heart. And of course, for me, it's been 45 years and I haven't reached that stage. But I won't give up because there are some hopeful signs. Anyway, Hare Krishna, any comments, reflections, questions? Yeah, Mother Mati.
Thank you, Adhikata Prabhu, for the class. Also, I want to thank you for supplying milk to us. Actually, just yesterday we were at the dinner table and talking about what a fortune we have with having milk and so many other products along with the milk, so I want to thank you that we can give that to our Giriraj.
Thank you.
I also wanted to ask you, you were talking about prayers that Shivaram Maharaj has.
Yeah.
I was wondering, is that something that you, the prayers that you can send to somebody, to us, or it's in a book, or
it's
there's an
e-book? It's a small book.
Uh-huh.
It's called My Morning Prayers. You should buy the whole set. You should get this set of books. It's amazing.
Well, the part, yeah, we can get the books. It's about reading them, whether we can read them.
Yeah.
But so I was thinking, well, maybe if there's some prayers,
anyway,
that
small
might be the essence.
Book. You can read the small book.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. I've got it. You can photocopy it, or maybe you can borrow it for a day or two.
Okay.
I'm very possessive about my books.
Thank you.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhuji.
Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna. I have a series of questions. So first question. You said if somebody is just wants to go to Golok Vrindavan, he needs a mercy of a devotee.
Right.
That's the way somebody can go. So if somebody is going and helping and you know serving devotees all the time, and he doesn't probably know much about Krishna, or maybe he knows little bit, but he mostly you know serving devotees all the time, can he still go to Golok Vrindavan?
It's possible. I mean, it's all about serving devotees, but at the same time, you know, we should try to take advantage of all the books written by the great acharyas, because they wrote the books to help us. So if you can read and you're not illiterate, it's good to take advantage of all the books, because books are the basis of the Hare Krishna movement. And Prabhupada said, if you don't read all these books, you'll fall down. So ultimately, it's not really enough. You know, ultimately, we have to have knowledge, we have to have attraction, we have to have the process of how to achieve perfection. It's a process. So, I mean, anything's possible. There's Kripa Siddha. Somebody gets perfection by the mercy of the devotees. But mostly we're sadhana siddhas, that we get perfection by practicing sadhana. And that, you know, sadhana means, you know, coming to the morning program, like that, chanting 16 rounds a day. So we're sadhakas. And, you know, it's not cheap. It's not like to get love of Krishna. It's guaranteed if you follow the process, but it takes time and you have to have a lot of patience, and you need all the help you can get. And the books are one of the main ways that we get help, reading the books, studying the philosophy. But you know, there is Kripa Siddhi, where you get perfection by the mercy of the devotees. Prabhupada gives the example of Rabindranath Tagore, that he got some special award from Oxford University, okay? Because he was a great poet, although I don't think he's really backed it like that.
He got
the Nobel Prize, but he also got a special award from, so did Bob Dylan, don't you know Bob Dylan? He got something from Harvard University. He's a popular American songwriter, Bob Dylan. So it's not that, you know, most anybody's going to get, hardly anyone's going to get an award from Oxford or Harvard University. That's a special, you know, special arrangement. So it's a special arrangement that somebody can go back to Godhead just by the mercy. They have to prove their, you know, their interest and their desire by practicing sadhana and by studying the books.
Right. So, Mike, there's a situation where somebody, you know, maybe can't read or maybe that doesn't have time. There's a situation where somebody can't read or maybe somebody
can't
doesn't
read.
Have time, but he's, you know, serving devotee all the time, you know, with all his...
Well, it's not up to me.
I'm just asking your opinion.
Ultimately, I can't say, you know, but Prabhupada said that if you don't read all my books, you'll fall down. And you're really depriving yourself of a lot of nectar if you don't read the books. Because, as it is said, that the books are the life and soul of those suffering in the material world. Tavagatamritam tapta jivanam. But Prabhupada, when he was on the boat coming to America, he said that the only thing that gave me life was reading the books. So we should want to know about Krishna. We should want to know what he does, how he enjoys life. Because we're trying to love Krishna. How can you love somebody if you don't know who they are? That's like the Christians, you know, they're all Oh, I love God, but I can't tell you the first thing about who God is. So it's not really ideal. Okay?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
All right, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Hare Krishna.